The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Good afternoon. How are you? The winter's here, isn't it? What happened to autumn? We seem to go straight from summer into this. Well, it was pouring down a few minutes ago, but my guest this week said it's easing up, so that means all the brickies and groundworkers are going to be out the caff and actually doing a bit of graft for once. Now, the other thing, what is going on with these tube drivers, eh? They're on strike again. Unbelievable. I have lost track of the reasons this time. It's not like they're not paid much or their pension's poor. My thoughts are, if the DLR is driverless, get rid of the drivers. Make them all driverless, then they can't go on strike, can they? Anyway, construction news. There's some great stories this week. As you're well aware, I've got a regular guest that comes on from HMRC about every 2 or 3 months to talk us through all the latest things. And it's a bit of a warning, really. A construction boss was convicted of committing £4.2 million in tax fraud. He legged it over to Ireland and he has now been caught. He's been extradited back here and he's now serving 12 years. So the message from HMRC is, if you try it on, you'll probably get caught, so it's worth paying your taxes. And finally, construction insolvencies have doubled in 2 years, from 340 in Q3 2016 to 677 in the same quarter of this year. Now, this was according to Dun & Bradstreet. I'm not quite sure what to read into this, but I do know it's tough out there. We have still got a lot of inquiries coming in, but there are difficulties. We've talked about bad debts, we've covered van and tool theft, and obviously material price rises, mentioning no names, but PIR insulation going up 20-odd% because one of the manufacturers had a fire. Enough on that. And we actually will be coming back to that in a few weeks. And just finally, everybody listening, I just want your thoughts on this. I'll tell you the quick story and then drop us a text. I've worked for a family, what have I done? 3 jobs. We're about to start another one for them. Lovely family. Problem is, I went and looked at this, signed it all off to start in April of next year. She doesn't make tea. I managed to persuade her to make a cup of tea, and I think the tea bag literally had a quick glimpse at this warm water. She didn't even boil the kettle, flooded it with milk and gave it to me. Now, the big question is, would you take this job on? Let me know. Text number's 81400. Start the message with Fix. Now, I've got to ask everyone listening, are you fed up? You core your hole to take out your 1.5-4 inch waste pipe and you think, oh, I've got to knock up a bit of muck, point it all up, and then you've got to try and make it look nice. So if it's render or dashing, you've got to try and match it in. You then got to paint it. Or if it's brickwork, you just blow the face of the brick off and you get your labour to try and do it. And it's a nightmare. However, I've got 2 brilliant guests today who have come up with a solution to all of these problems. They are Alex and Chris, and they are the co-founders of Pipe Snug. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yep.
Now, I've got to ask, we were just talking off air, how did you guys come up with this idea? Because we all have these ideas when we're at work, but you guys romantically sorted it out over a
We did, yeah. Long story short, myself and Alex, when our 2 daughters started school together, they sort of come out bestie mates, and we used to do these parents' evenings, so it would just be me and Al and literally all the other mums. So we ended up obviously talking and drinking a lot. And just randomly, I don't know how the conversation even come about, basically, but I was moaning about putting these holes, and I'd done all this, was trying to look online for just a ring that went through it to cover it. And I reckon it was cost me kind of £300 on every extension I was doing, you know, your kitchen, your cloakroom, your bathroom. I thought there must be something out there, and I didn't think anything more of it at the time. I was just kind of ranting off, and then I got a phone call about 3 days later, and Alex was like, oh, actually, I've looked into that, and do you fancy doing something? And so, yeah, that's kind of how it come about, really.
So you're a bricklayer. You obviously build extensions. You're on the tools, and you're now partners in this. So where do you see this going? I mean, potentially, sky's the limit, isn't it? Because there's nothing else out there that I've found that does it. So you patented and all the rest of it?
So yeah, we've got patents, international patents now actually for it. So it's all about expanding the range and making people aware of this. So we started off with 1.25 and 1.5 sizes. Just a couple of weeks ago, we brought out a new 4-inch one for a saw pipe. And there's loads more we want to do. There's loads in the range that we want to still bring out. So yeah, there's lots of applications. People all the time are asking us, have you got one to do this, one to do that? So yeah, it's still really at the start of the journey really for us.
it's at the start of the journey, but I think what a lot of the listeners would like to hear is, you know, we all come up with these ideas, especially with a couple of beers after a, you know, day's work on a Friday. Can you take us through the minute you're in that pub, you've come up with this light bulb moment, to where you are now? How long's the process? What loopholes have you got to go through? Design patterns? Can you give us a quick summary and sort of very quickly how you started from the idea to where you are now?
Yeah, it basically took us, I think, from that night in the pub about 2.5 years before we actually launched the product. So in that time, yeah, we formed the company, we applied for patents, we got trademarks on the name, we did a load on the marketing and the logo, branding, all that kind of stuff. We also then obviously had to get into the design of the product itself, which we were adamant that we had to get absolutely right. You know, there's nothing worse than getting the product out there and people going, this doesn't work. So we had lots of prototypes made up, lots of testing. Chris, being a bricklayer, built a wall in my back garden.
You've got one in the garage.
Yeah.
You've got one on a plastic table in the back garden. It's been there since day one. So that's where we test every single one we get, don't we?
So we do that, and we stand there and we test it with, you know, hoses and hair dryers. And, you know,
So you literally have tested it from the word go. As you say, you don't want to launch a product that potentially could be huge if there are faults.
Absolutely, yeah. It's got to be right, isn't it? I mean, yeah. If you're sticking your name to it anyway, and I've always been a detail guy, you're going through so much work and so much money to do it, you just can't take any risks. So everything you get, you're testing. And then you're still waiting for that call to come in and say, actually, someone's already invented this. And touch wood, that never happened. But I remember being nervous about that at the start, you as well. Yeah, and you kind of do as much research as you can, but you never really know if there's something out in another country that might be already be out there. But
so you say you've done the research, as far as you're aware nothing has been done. I've got to ask, why do you think that is? Because this really is an age-old problem. It's not something that started 5 years ago, since DOT, when we were coring holes. Why hasn't this been done before? It is a pretty simple solution to quite a pain little job to do, mucking it in.
I think people's perspectives have changed about building work. I think television has probably brought on a bit of quality. I think that house extensions from when I started and where they are now, people know what they're looking for. And, you know, if they're spending 100 grand, 150 grand, even 50 grand on something, they don't want a big hole gaping in the wall that doesn't match, doesn't look right, or, you know, they're more aware of it, basically. And I think that's kind of worked in our favour, and that we've recognised the problem. And I think other people have recognised it at the same time, which is maybe why it was missed to start with. Nobody really cared 15, 20 years ago, and now they do. So
I think the other point is also is that we're now talking about low-carbon homes, you know, hot air not escaping from the house, etc. And, you know, that people are running air pressure tests on new-build homes. So people are now becoming more aware of these holes that exist in the fabric of a building that need to be plugged in with something. So I think in the past, people would have just left it and that got away with it.
Well, let's be fair, it's a pain, isn't it? You've cored your 2-inch hole, 4-inch hole, inch and a half, whatever you're running, and it's on that snagging list, is it, at the end? And you think it's a lot of potential grief to knock up a bit of sand and cement to go and plug up one hole.
Yeah.
And as you say, people do leave it, and with these zero emission, zero carbon, passive homes, you can't get away with these gaps anymore. So you've almost come in at the perfect time in terms of the way that, you know, new builds are going.
Yeah, we hope so.
What's the point?
The fact is that we've done all the calculations. You know, it will take you a good 20 minutes, half an hour to point up a hole properly by the time you've mixed your sand and cement,
especially the 110 up a ladder by yourself in the rain.
Whereas fitting a pipe snug literally takes 5 seconds, and that's it. You've got an airtight, watertight seal in 5 seconds. So, you know, the simple thing is, why wouldn't you really?
So how well has it been received? We were just chatting a few minutes ago. You're obviously looking at getting in the, you know, the national suppliers. You're in quite a few of the plumbing suppliers, Williams, Plumbase, etc. How well has it gone down? Because, as I say, not just on new builds, but certainly retrofitting, this is a breeze. So has it been really well received by everyone, or is it a long old process to get into these big stores?
It does take a while, and, you know, there's lots of different channels you can use to get the word out there, and social media for us has been brilliant, you know, and obviously for anyone else starting out there, the great advantage of it is that it's free, and it's a great way of reaching a large audience, so we use that quite a bit. The reception's been fantastic. You know, we've had some great comments, people sending in pictures of their installs, loving it.
Won some awards as well, yeah. Which has definitely helped.
Yeah, so we won a couple of industry awards based off this as well. So it's great. It's good that all the hard work we put in and people appreciate that, and we're getting some notice and rewards for it. Yeah.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Now my guests again, they met in a pub, and they've come up with this brilliant new product called Pipe Snug. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
As we were saying, you've obviously been going a couple of years now. You mentioned you've got other ideas. Can you let us in on that? We've obviously got the 1.5 inch and a quarter, 2 inch if you're running a long run, 4 inch for your soil. You mentioned you get a lot of sort of feedback from people using it.
Mm.
Any clues on the next one?
Are we allowed?
He shook his head, by the way.
No, look, it's basically anything that goes through a wall needs to be sealed. As I said, you're talking about the passive housing, low carbon homes. So we can adapt it to any kind of size, and that's kind of what we're looking at. So anything that's going to be going through a wall, it may not even just be pipes. You know, there's different types of pipes, whether it be gas, whether it be water, waste,
mains, anything.
You've got mains, but it could cabling. Also be cables and electricity and that kind of thing. So there's all sorts of different applications that we're looking at, but.
We've been approached by, but we've had discussions with companies to do the ground source heat pumps,
yeah,
air conditioned, massive one as well. I mean, that's as it is at the moment, it's the right state, and you imagine that's nearly all over the world they have them, and it's got a big hole going through with three cables. So, like I say, I mean, they're really keen to get going, but there's so many things you can do it with. You've got to pick the right ones and do it in order, you know.
So, as you say, moving towards. All your copper pipes, so your 15, your 22s, your mains water coming in 32.
Yeah.
The 32 we've got already, so that's available now. There's lots of different applications we can do it for, which we're trying to get the ones we've got out working first.
What about the sort of moving into flues from boilers? I appreciate you get your flue kit, but you know, I've not personally fitted them, but plumbers have fitted them. They're not great. You know, we're mentioning passive houses. I'm sure if you did an air test on the current flue kit from Worcester or Valent or whoever, they're not great. Is that something you're potentially looking at?
Potentially.
I reckon he's been sitting in on a meeting somewhere.
But yeah, we are looking at it.
So as we mentioned, you're in some of the plumbing suppliers. You're in initial discussions with the big suppliers. Is this something that you're looking to roll out possibly more than the UK? Is this potentially Europe into the States?
Definitely, yeah. We've applied for patents in multiple countries worldwide. The ones that we think will suit, obviously. But yeah, it's a massive problem everywhere. And if it's, you know, and the thing is with passive housing, I mean, you go to Middle East and places like that, they're probably not as keen on it. It's not as important to them. But also they've got infestation from insects and things like that. And it stops all that as well. And it's quite strange because originally we just set out as a finish. That was my idea originally. It's just a nice finish. It cuts my time down as a bricklayer, making good, and saves money on jobs for all the trades. But since then, we found out it's airtight, we found out it's watertight, we found out it stops insects. And so you've got all these kind of additional benefits that have come along, and they start suiting other countries as well. So yeah, long term is to get it out everywhere, really.
Building control. They want all these passive houses and no air escaping, no heat escaping.
Mm.
Speaking to borough council, saying this is now part of the finishing off of pipes, cables that you mentioned, getting in with them, it's part of finishing to get your completion certificate. It's got to be an idea, isn't
it? Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were at the London Build Show at Olympia last week, and we had quite a lot of interest in people who do all the air pressure tests for new builds, and they spotted it straight away. You could see exactly what the problem was, and saw that our product is a good solution to that, to the point where it may be something they could even recommend going forward. So yeah, absolutely, it's definitely a good path for us to follow that one.
Now you're both in the industry, obviously we're aimed at tradespeople, construction industry. Last week we were just chatting, I was outside number 10 waiting for our PM to come out, and the reason being is because she
with some eggs
yeah, and flour.
Did their pipes need sealing? Did you check?
I tell you what, something we're going to talk about in a minute is the new Cat S61 phone. It's got a thermal imaging camera, and I've got a picture of numbers saying the heat they are losing out of those windows and doors is absolutely
sort of rubbish just coming out of there, I think.
It's the hot air, isn't
it? The hot air, yeah.
She's called all us tradespeople low-skilled. What's your views on that?
I think it's shocking, to be honest with you. I think that there is issues, and when we had a discussion off air, there is issues with the training, but, I mean, you know yourself, you run your own building company. The amount of hours I have to put in for keeping up to date with new regulations, they change all the time, new materials. You need to research the materials that you're not going to get stuck if you install them, that you find out 6 months down the line they don't work. You know, there's a lot of detail that goes into it, and I think to say it's unskilled is, or low skilled is a bit of a shocker, to be honest with you. You know, there's so many aspects to everything you do, whether it be carpentry, bricklaying, groundworks. You don't just get up and sit in front of a screen and you know, you might be an accountant doing numbers all day. Does that make you more skilled than somebody who has to constantly adapt to the surroundings that they're working in and, you know, be safe at all times and, you know, get used to all these new products? And they're coming out all the time and you've got to be able to use them. So if anything, I'd say we're quite highly skilled, really, for what we do. So
I think, as you say, one thing I picked up when we did the NEC UK Construction Week not that long ago was you walk round something that size, all these new products and materials.
I was blown away.
Yeah. And the problem is, as we were saying earlier, when you sort of go into a job, from the minute the digger turns up to that final coat of paint, you've got to know everything and every option.
Mm.
Because, as we said, customers, I've been on Google, and there's so much out there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to keep up with it. You know, you mentioned you sort of adapt as you go. I was thinking, we were plastering this wall the other week, and there was everything on this wall, from tile adhesive, there was finish, there was paint, there was hardwall, there was sand and cement. As you know, with your finish, you've got different drying times for every bit of that wall. Which bits do you PVA? Which bits do you blue grit? Mm-hmm. Do you just float the whole thing and start again? Do you dot and dab?
Mm.
To know all of these things, you've got to be skilled. And to me, doing that is more skilled than tapping away on a computer all day.
I definitely think so. I think you've got to be resourceful as well, which is, you know yourself, you go into houses that were built in 1890, completely different construction methods. You wasn't born when you was doing them. You've never taught about them. It's something you have to research yourself, find out how they work, and work to it. I mean, a lot of the plastering used to have horsehair and asbestos in it. So you've got to make good for that as well and allow for it and make sure you do it correctly. You can't put new plaster on a wall when it's old plastered everywhere else, because it doesn't set and it doesn't fill and it causes problems long term. So, you know, there's a lot of things I think go unseen in the construction industry.
Gentlemen, unfortunately we've run out of time, but just final quick question. Where's PipeSnug going to be in 5 years?
Worldwide. World domination.
World domination.
Brilliant. Well, listen, I think it's a great idea. It's certainly going to save a lot of people, as you say, that last half an hour on jobs, plugging up holes, and it also looks a hell of a lot better. So I wish you all the best, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much. Fix Radio.
Let the rant begin.
Tube drivers, yeah, they're on strike again. No idea what for. Quite honestly, I don't even care. It seems like they're always on strike. What they don't seem to care about is how it affects us all. It's not just office workers that can't get in, it's also us trades. We all know how much of a pain it is driving and parking in London. So what do? Bring the tools up on day one and then get the tube. If it's running. If it's not running, we can't get to work. So every Wednesday I come in early and I see the amount of trades, construction workers all using the tube. So how are we meant to get into work if they're not running? The Evening Standard reported, you won't believe this figure, February 2017 that the tube and rail strikes in 2016 cost London's economy £500 million. That's quite a few noughts. And this is down to delayed meetings because commuters can't get into work, miss flights, and they obviously don't spend any money in the shops. £500 million. This has got to stop. So, me, Andy Stevens, I've got a solution. The DLR line is driverless and it seems to do a half-decent job without anyone driving these trains. So, if all the drivers on the other tube lines go on strike, I reckon the government should ban them. Get rid of them. Get all the tubes driverless. Then we wouldn't have any strikes. We could all get into work. Now, I've got to say, I'm not sure how well it would work. I know it'd go down with the old unions. But I tell you what, we'd all get to work on time. And we wouldn't be losing £500 million a year. So if I was PM, that's what I'd do. Bin the drivers and get driverless trains. Sorted. No more damn delays.
Andy Stevens on Fix Radio.
We were just chatting off air there with my great guest from PipeSnug, Stories on the Job. And as we were talking about this, I've got to say, I had a text. I was mentioning this lovely customer that we're going to be doing third or fourth job for, and she made this appalling tea. What you forget is the husband is listening. He's just sent me a text, and what he said is, I'll read it out, just tuned in. Are you going to mention the fact you're going to put 800 quid on the job to cover tea, coffee, milk, etc., as my little princess of a wife won't make you anything? If you do, I'll buy you a tea's maid to do our job. Well, there we go, Chris. It's out in the open, mate. I have mentioned it, but the amount of tea and coffee that we drink, and your lovely wife has made zero, and that thing that she made me the other week, which was just warm milk, it's not happening, mate. So there will be a little surcharge going on. Now, we usually do Twag of the Week, but this story has grabbed my attention, and everyone listening, I know for a fact, is going to share my view. The word is persimmon. Everybody knows they're a big house builder in the UK. And in today's press, in the Mirror, a persimmon boss was interviewed by BBC on this huge bonus that he was paid. He was offered just the small sum of 100 million for his annual bonus. It all kicked off, and he accepted 75 million. That was a hard day for him, clearly. Now, the BBC interviewed him the other day, and he's basically had to walk out the job. Now, I want to ask every single tradesperson listening, I've still got the pipe snug boys here, bricklayer over there, everybody knows persimmons homes. They know that, well, you can use their sort of flank walls on 2-3 story houses as a climbing wall. It's not the greatest. You can see this all over social media. Just put in persimmon, you can see their stunning brickwork. Is it really fair that their old boss got given 75 million quid? And looking at him, doesn't look like he's ever picked a trowel up in his life. You should see his fingernails. They're all perfect. They look great. He's got a snappy suit on. Probably cost more than my van. And he's just been given 75 million quid. I would love to hear from you, because I'm sure there's a lot of brickies. There's one sitting opposite me, absolutely fuming, steam coming out of his ears. What do you think? Is it fair that us trades are paid less and less, and each year these big boys at the top in their fancy suits are being given these fortunes in bonuses, 75 million just for the year, bless him.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.